Sabbath Church family, welcome to Central Study Hour here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're so glad you joined us for worship today, and it's always a joy to lift our voices, so let's sing together. Our first hymn is hymn number 286, Wonderful Words of Life, one of my favorite hymns to sing. What a blessing to be reminded of God's wonderful words of life, words that bring hope, comfort, and strength. And don't forget, if you want us to sing your favorite hymn, please submit your song request through to saccentral.org. For our next hymn, we will be singing hymn number 469, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's sing together.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning, oh Jesus,
safe and secure from all alarms.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
trusting arms. Secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Isn't a blessing to know that we can always lean on Jesus because His arms are safe and secure. So right now, let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the gift of life. Thank you for the Sabbath that we can still freely worship you. I pray that you will send the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth as Brother Bona presents the lesson study today. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Today's lesson is lesson number 13, The Tabernacle, and it will be presented by Brother Bona. May you be blessed as we study God's word together. Happy Sabbath.
So glad to be in the house of the Lord this holy Sabbath day, as we're going to conclude the lesson for this quarter. We are at the end, lesson number 13, and we will be doing a quick recap of what we have discussed the past week. So if you would like to receive the recordings, CD or DVD of today's Bible study, you are welcome to call us at 916-457-6511, or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org. And please mention the offer number C202539. Once again, C202539. And we'll be happy to send that Bible study to your address. And so as we conclude the lesson for this quarter, which talking about Exodus, and today is lesson number 13. And the title is Tabernacle, and this is plays a vital role in our faith and spiritual. As we recap the 12th lesson that we have studied in the past for this quarter, before we move on with the next one, the next quarter, lesson number one is about oppression, the background and the birth of Moses. And remember that God's people groaned in bondage, but he heard them. He remembered his covenant and positioned Moses for their rescue. And then lesson number two is the burning bush. Yeah, and then it talks about Moses' encounters to God in a bush that burns, but it's not consumed. This is a clear call to a disruptive destiny. And then lesson number three, Pastor Mike, I remember he talks about rough start. Moses and Aaron approach Pharaoh. Yeah, and then instead of liberation, Israel's burdens increases. It's never as smooth as expected. And then followed with lesson number four, the plagues. Pharaoh's heart hardens, if you can recall. God unleashed judgment as a wake-up call. Escalation continues. It wasn't subtle, but it was necessary. And then followed with lesson number five, it was Passover. The tenth plague hits. Instructions for Passover emphasize faith and remembrance. And that wasn't just for survival. It was identity building. And then followed lesson number six, through the Red Sea. And it talks about, with faith, God parts the sea. Moses urges that stand still, see salvation. And these action follows. So follow with lesson number 7, the bread and the water of life. And it talks about the regular reliance on God's sustenance. Spiritual nourishment is not an optional, it is fundamental. And then lesson number 8, covenant at Sinai. God established his covenant with Israel, which is the foundation, and terms are laid down. And 9, the living the law, and talks about it's one thing to get the law, it's another to apply daily. And purpose 6, performance. Followed with lesson number 10, the covenant and the blueprint. Moses presents God's word. People respond, all that the Lord has commanded, we will do. A covenant confirmed, tabernacle blueprint revealed. Lesson 11, apostasy and intercession. And I think I talk on lesson 11, it talks about Israel's sins, which is a golden calf. Moses then intercedes, then leadership flexes into intercession and intervention versus inductance. And then last week, it was lesson number 12, please show me your glory. And it talks about Moses asked for God's self-revelation. God responds with mercy, justice, the fullness of his character, and he shows his glory. So now for this Sabbath, talks about the tabernacle, and this is the closing, and then also a transition for the next quarter. And the title, the tabernacle. And on the Saturday, on the introduction, it says that I would like to bring your attention, and you picture this situation. The project is finished. And then the camp hold its breath. And then the cloud drops. Fire lights the night. Imagine that situation at the tabernacle. That moment, if you picture that, in Exodus chapter 40, is not God signing off on a building. Yeah, it's actually God moving in. God moving in. Then the tabernacle says one thing louder than the trumpet ever could. Yeah. God chooses proximity, not distance. Yeah. Again, God chooses proximity, not distance. So that's what God choose. And then from Eden to Exodus and then to Jesus, people hide and God asks, where are you? Right? Remember what happens in the Garden of Eden? People hide, but God asks, where are you? Then we ran, but he draws near. Yeah. So basically, the tabernacle is heaven's visual aid for the gospel. Yeah. God's love is translated into the materials in the tabernacle, which is of the fabric, the furniture. What else happening in the tabernacle? Fire and also forgiveness. So those are components that translated into God's love. So it's not just as simple as a tabernacle decoration. You might think it's only a decoration, but it's not. It's actually a roadmap back to his heart. Yeah, so, and here's the big idea that this whole series was talking about, the whole series. The presence over productions. So we'll talk about that more detail. Presence over productions. Relationship over religion. And then God with us so we can be with him. So basically that's the main frame of the lesson for this Sabbath that we will be discussing. Why this series matters? We might ask in our mind, what's in it for us? So, if shame, hurry, or fear has made you feel far from God, now this lesson, this Sabbath, is basically our re-entry plan. So again, if we feel like shame, feels hurry, or fear, this lesson, as we're going to be studying, is our re-entry plan. If you feel like life feels like a cluttered tent, God wants to turn your ordinary into sanctuary. What it means later, we'll discuss that a little deeper later. if you're unsure what God is really like, now the tabernacle shows his characters in high definition mode. Yeah. So holy, merciful, near, patient, and powerful. So that's what we will be revealing throughout this lesson. Now the runway for this lesson that we'll be discussing from Sunday to Thursday is that Sabbath first, yeah, presence is the point, not just a simple pause. Yeah. Offering and the Spirit. When the Spirit owns the heart, there's more than enough. So we'll be dig deeper in a little bit. The build details aren't a red tape, but it's a guardrails of grace. Glory fills the tent, finished or filled. It's a guidance flows from nearness. And then the last, Jesus tabernacled with us. And that's the blueprint resolved in a person or Emmanuel. Brothers and sisters, Mrs. White is talking, mentioning about this in the book of Desire of Ages. And she wrote that to all who receive the Sabbath as a sign of Christ's creative and redeeming power, it will be a delight. So that is actually a delight. Yeah, Sabbath is a delight. So what is our next step? What should we do next? So I encourage that we all are making a commitment, bring our Bible, yeah, and then also a notebook or electronics or an actual notebook. Expect God to speak. So we need to kind of write it down or record. Some people recording it nowadays, the sermon. And then maybe we invite a friend, yeah, someone who needs hope. Yeah, that's our action plan. And then also an open heart. As we pray, Lord, pitch your tent in me. I'll follow the cloud. So that's our mentalities. So let's stand up this series, this lesson, with one clear key performance indication. More of his presence in our home, our habits, and our house of worship. So that's what we will be discussing. And since God chose proximity over polish, let's start the week the way he does it. And which is what? Sabbath first. The presence isn't our reward, it is the starting line. And Sunday lesson talks about the Sabbath of the Lord. And so in Sunday lesson talks about Exodus chapter 35. And it opens with a surprise. Before Israel lifts the hammer for God's house, to build God's house, God says, Sabbath first. What it means is that even holy projects don't outrank holy presence. Yeah. So before they start building the tabernacle, God says, Sabbath first. And that means a holy project, building the tabernacle, is a holy project. We might have a holy project in our work, in the church, in our professions, but let's remember Sabbath first. And so the Sabbath isn't a speed bump. Yeah, we may think this is a speed bump, but it is actually not. It's actually an on-ramp to live with God. Yeah, think of it like heaven's recurring meeting invite. Yeah, some of you working might receive a meeting invite from your supervisor, manager, and there's a link, you know, for that meeting. So this is similar to that, yeah. Basically, but there's no reschedule link. Basically, Sabbath, there's no reschedule link for that. It's an invite for God for this meeting. So God basically saying, I want to be with you. I want to be with you for this Sabbath. So that's what we are doing for those who sanctify the Sabbath. Wherever you are doing the same thing. God says, I want to be with you. Yeah, so that's where it starts. So the lesson we can learn from Sunday is that Sabbath isn't a speed bump. It's actually an on-ramp. We can find like 5 bullets of lessons from Sundays to make it live for us. The first one, Creator at the center. Yeah. Creator at the center. Sabbath is a weekly memorial of creation as found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Creator at the center. So basically, it's a weekly memorial of creation. So we memorial that every week. So, and with doing so, it recenters our identity. Yeah, readjusts our identity that we are created, not self-made. Yeah, a lot of ideas out there that thinking that we're developing from a simple blah, 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 blah. With these, Sabbath, every week is a memorial of creation. It's readjust our understanding that we are created, not self-made or developing automatically. So basically that kills a pride and also quiets anxiety. The second that we can take from Sunday lesson, Messiah in view. The Sabbath points to Jesus, our rest and also our Redeemer. So we stop working basically to remember his finished work. Yeah, on the week of creation, God says he finished, and we are doing, celebrating Sabbath is to remember his finished work. No performance theater in this situation, just a simple grace from God. And the third lesson we can take is that Kingdom in preview. Yeah, I paraphrase this from the lesson in a different phrase. Sabbath is a trailer for the coming kingdom. Yeah, as you can see, before we're watching a movie, there is like a little trailer, basically synopsis of the whole story. So basically, this is a kingdom preview. It's a trailer for the coming kingdom. Justice, joy, and shalom. Yeah, one day a week, we live like the world we're waiting for. So that's basically the third takeaways. The fourth one, salvation by grace. Basically, we don't earn favor, but we received it. Yeah, we receive grace. Sabbath is God's weekly, quote, you are mine, basically. If I can paraphrase it. Sabbath is God's weekly, you are mine to us. It's stamped over our to-do list in our lives. Yeah. The fifth one, judge and friend. Yeah. Sabbath reminds us that the judge is good. Yeah. And for those who trust him, Judgment Day is a deliverance day. Yeah. It's basically a holy awe instead of fear. Yeah. So, and this isn't new. Yeah. Listen how Ellen G. White frames Sabbath as delight, not just a simple rule. Yeah, The Desire of Ages, page 288. To all who receive the Sabbath as a sign of Christ's creative and redeeming power, it will be a delight. Yeah. So it's basically short and sweet. Basically, when Christ is the center, Sabbath turns from rule into a delight. Yeah, so that's what the pen of inspiration wrote. There's a story about the family. So all week, the family scatters. Yeah, the family scatters doing so many things: shifts, working, school, traffic. But on Friday, sunset, Grandma sets a same table. Yeah, a simple food, a candle, a psalm, phones, gather everything, phones in the basket, and then the house exhales, the kids' shoulder drop, and laughter returns. So imagine that situation, Friday, sunsets, and then no one remembers the exact menu years later, but everyone remembers the peace in that Friday vespers. So, brothers and sisters, that's Sabbath. God's weekly table where love is served hot and fears cools down. Yeah. So that's what God is introducing to our families. Yeah. What can we apply in our life for these lessons that we just discussed? We just took five takeaways. The application, block the calendar. Yeah. Block any calendar. Treat Sabbath like a board meeting with Jesus. Yeah, for those who's a board meeting, a board member. Yeah, treat it like a board meeting with Jesus. Non-negotiable. Don't put anything. Just block the schedule. Don't do anything else. Yeah. Or if some people started early on a Friday, land the plane early on a Friday. And then what is our second application? Create welcome home ritual. Yeah. At sundown, one song, a simple scripture, one round of gratitude, you know, going around the room, you know, everyone says one line, what is the highlight of the week, and so that's something simple, yeah. And then also what we can apply in our family is that delight, don't just desist. Plan joy, a walk, a nap, visit someone lonely, yeah, on a Sabbath day, singing with the family, sharing testimonies. I think that's one of the, each family probably have a different traditions on a Sabbath, yeah. So those are the things that, and ideas that we can do, implement in our lives. Make church presence first. When you arrive in church, in a manner of praying, because you're entering the God's presence. Yeah, arrive prayed up. Greet like you mean it. Yeah, happy Sabbath. You know, greet like you mean it. Hey, so good to see you. Happy Sabbath. God bless you. So it's not a simple program. Sabbath is not just a program. Yeah, we basically stay for the whole people and the ministry for God. It's not just a program. In a seminary, they call it liturgy. So benediction, open prayer, and things like that. All the program. That's not just a program. It's basically the way we worship God through that. Yeah. And let the Sabbath keep you. Through the week, let's have our mentality asking, does this choice help me enter the Sabbath with a clear heart? If not, we need to readjust, okay? So if you are committing to presence over productions, lock it with a simple yes to Jesus, yeah? There's an old line says, more than Israel kept the Sabbath kept Israel. So today, let the Lord keep you, your mind, your marriage, your children, your church, by his weekly gift of presence. Yeah, if you need a reset, a rescue from hurry, or a home for your own heart, say with me, Sabbath first. So I think that's the main lesson for the Sunday, yeah? If Sabbath resets the heart, then Monday, when we move on to Monday lesson, it actually proves it, yeah? Sabbath, it resets the heart on Sunday lesson, and when we move to Monday, it proves it, yeah? Rested the hearts becomes generous hands, and the Spirit turns talent into impact. So Monday, we move on to Monday, yeah? Offerings and the Spirit. The offering call in Exodus is actually quite wild, if in my opinion, as I'm studying this week. People gave so freely that Moses had to make a public announcement. It says, please stop, there's more than enough, yeah? When you read on Monday lesson, please stop, there's more than enough. And in that story, the builders there weren't just a talented, they were filled with the Spirit to design, to teach, and deliver the excellence of their buildings. Yeah. The bottom line, when the Holy Spirit owns the heart and guides the hand, then God's work moves from scarcity to surplus. So that's why they're abundant, overflowing in the blessings. Yeah. What lessons can we take from this Monday lesson? Here are some principles to turn willing hearts into wise work. Willing or means pressured. Everyone whose heart was stirred brought an offering. So that's from chapter 35, verse 21. Yeah. Everyone whose heart was stirred brought an offering. God's key performance of improvement isn't the amount, but what counts is the motive. Yeah. Gift, skill, and spirit. Yeah. Bezalel and Oholiab were filled with the Spirit for craftsmanship and for teachings. Yeah, that's found in chapter 35, verse 31 to 35. The Spirit anoints pulpits and toolboxes, sewing tables, spreadsheets, and soundboards. So basically, that's a combination between gifts, skills, and the spirits. So it combines and building something great. And also, the third lesson we can take, provision comes before the ask. Yeah, Israel left Egypt with resources in the hands. Yeah, found in Exodus 12, 35, 36. God had already funded the mission. The offering simply aligned hearts to his plan. Yeah, so that's provision comes before the ask. And the fourth lesson we can take is that leadership channels generosity. Yeah, Moses set boundaries, transparent, accountable, so giving served the mission. Spirit-led generosity still needs spirit-led governance. Yeah, so that's the fourth lesson. The fifth one, fruit fuels the gift. So gift runs best on the fuel of heaven. Yeah. Gifts runs best on the fuel. Okay, let's move on. And then heavens always measures motives before metrics. Yeah, it's not about the metrics. So Mrs. White mentioned in Steps to Christ, page 92, she wrote, it is the motive that gives character to our act. Yeah, it's found in page 92. It is the motive that gives character to our act. Yeah, basically, heaven measures the why before the what. Yeah, it's basically the motives. So that's what Mrs. White wrote. What can we take from this fact, from this story? Let's pray first. Yeah, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to bring? Yeah, we all have time. We all have talent. We all have treasures. Yeah, pray. What do you want me to bring, God? Ask that in our personal, in our family. What should we bring? We might bring our time. We might not have talent, but we might have time. Yeah? You know, joining all the activities in church. Or we might not have time, but we do have talents, like singing in choristers, or present special musics, or you might not have any of that, but you do have treasures. So pray first. And then what can we do? Time. For time application in our life is that block 2 hours. It's an idea. It's not an imperative. It's an idea. Block 2 hours this week to serve. So that's the application, yeah? And then treasure. Pick a percentage or a specific project and automate it. Yeah, generosity works best on a system, not a mood. Yeah. And then multiply, teach one person what you know. Yeah. Anything. Maybe you're good at serving. Teach someone. This is how you serve. Yeah. Ready to bring one tangible offering this week? Let's tell him now. God still turns willing hearts and spirit-filled hands into more than enough. Yeah, if you're ready to bring one tangible offering this week, 2 hours, one skills, or one gift, and to do it in the Spirit of Jesus, just whisper in your heart. Let's follow God's blueprint, stitch by stitch. And details aren't red tape. They are guardrails of grace. So, Tuesday, when God asked Israel to build the tabernacle, he did not say, just make it nice. Yeah, that's not what God said. He gave stitch-by-stitch specification all the details, yeah, like curtains, rings, colors, lampstand, altars, garments. And someone might think that micromanagement, yeah, but that's actually not. That's not micromanagement. That's translate into mercy, yeah. What I mean by that? So love often speaks in details, yeah. Measurements are how a holy God moves safely into the middle of a broken camp. Yeah. Now, the bottom line, the blueprint says, I want to live close to you every day. So that's basically the main idea. I want to live close to you every day. So that's what it means of mercy. Yeah. And we can take out a few lessons from Tuesday. Yeah. There's four truths to keep in a sweet spot. Presence has a pattern. Every piece, the ark, whether it's the table, the lamp, the incense, the laver, the courtyard, priestly garments, preached accessories, God designed his pathway from the camp to communion. Yeah. He's not hiding, yeah, in that instructions. He is actually inviting us. So two rhythms of grace, yeah, daily and yearly. So what I mean by daily? Daily service, constant forgiveness and fellowship. Yeah, constant forgiveness and fellowship. And that's the daily rhythms of grace. God's assuring repentant people, you are covered. Walk with me. That's what God says. Yeah. And then the yearly service or the Day of Atonement is basically the deep clean. Yeah. God settles accounts, removes guilt from the camp, and also gives the community a fresh start. So basically, the daily service and then the yearly service. So that's what happened in that tabernacle, basically. Give them a fresh start after the yearly Day of Atonement. Now, together, they storyboard the gospel. Yeah, sin, the idea is that sin is serious. Yeah, grace is greater than sin. Yeah, judgment brings joy for the repentant. Everybody sin at the time, and so was us nowadays, but that's how they make an atonement. Yeah. What the third lesson we can take is that precisions protects. Yeah. God's specifics aren't red tape, basically a cautious line. Yeah, that's what it means, red tape. But instead, they are guardrails. Yeah. And that's a guardrail. That's to help us. Obedience doesn't earn his love. It positions us under his presence without being consumed. Yeah, holiness is safety. That's the lesson that we can take from Tuesday. Christ, the fourth one, Christ is the fulfillment. The sanctuary points beyond itself. Jesus is the Lamb, the High Priest, and the mercy seat. He ministers for us now and will finish the sin problem so we live in a future without evil. The blueprint resolves in a person, Jesus himself. Yeah. So no surprise then the Christ's current work centers on the sanctuary. Mrs. White wrote in the Great Controversy, page 488, the sanctuary in heaven is the very center of Christ's work on behalf of man. It concerns every soul living upon the earth. Yeah. So that's what the pen of inspiration wrote for us. Think of it like the nurse med pass. Yeah, for those who was a nurse, you are familiar with the term med pass. Yeah, basically medication passing. So think of it as a nurse med pass. Details that protect life. Yeah, any good nurse knows the six rights, right, Brother Rengifo? Yeah, a nurse, right? And for those a nurse. For you familiar with the six rights, yeah? And this is six rights is patient, yeah, the right patient, right drug, right medication, right dose, right route, right time, and right documentation. So this is the foundation of the med pass, yeah, medication. Before we give medication to our patients, we have to remember these six rights. Am I giving it? Is it the right patient? Oh, I thought the last name was this. And then is it, wait, this is the right one or what? Or maybe that's a different medication. Or wait, what was the dose? What is it from intramuscular or what? Is it from the mouth? What time is supposed to be given? So, and then the right documentation. So in a simple manner, something like that. So these details aren't just busy work. They protect life and make healing possible, yeah, for accuracy. And brothers and sisters, the tabernacle is God. Med pass, similar to that. And these are the med pass for our soul. Yeah. And the details don't block the cure, basically. They actually delivers it. Yeah. Safely, faithfully, and lovingly. So what can we apply from those lessons in our life? Yeah? What can we apply? First one, what we can do, invite God into our details. Yeah, invite God into our details. Pray over our calendars. Yeah, pray over our calendars. Whatever activities we have, personal life, calendars of the family, calendars of the church, calendars of whatever that is you have, pray over that. Yeah. Pray over the budget. Pray over the relationships. Yeah. And mentalities is that, Lord, please set the pattern. Please set the pattern so that God will readjust that. Yeah. Invite God into the details of our plan and calendars. And the second application we can take from Tuesday lesson, practice the daily. Keep simple altar at home. Yeah. A scripture, reading, contemplating, confession, a little confession, and then say a little gratitude, and then let God's lamp keep burning in our heart. So on a daily basis. And then honor the yearly. That was the daily. Honor the yearly. Yeah, similar to the worship services in the tabernacle. There's a daily and then there's a yearly. Honor the yearly. Schedule spiritual inventory on an annual basis. Yeah, repent, reconcile, reset. Did I hurt somebody last year? Or did I say something offending somebody? Or, wait, who am I not talking to right now? So evaluate those and ask what needs cleansing, so our presence can, God's presence can be in our hearts, in our lives. Yeah. So that's what we can learn from that lesson. And then also follow the pattern, which is Jesus. If a habit doesn't look like Christ's character, refactor it. Yeah. Excellence in worship services. Follow the pattern, which is Jesus himself. Come to worship on a purpose, not just by an accident. Bring an offering, yeah, whether it's time, it's talent, or treasure. Yeah? Expect his glory to fill the tent. Yeah. Family, the God who numbered threads also numbers tears. Yeah? He cares about every details. He cares about every details because he cares about all of us. Yeah. If you want his presence to move you from blueprint to built in our life, into our home, into our schedule, into our every single choices, would you tell him now, Lord, set the pattern. Build your dwellings in me. So set that in our mind. Okay? And that's Tuesday. So let's transition. Let's move on. When the work is finished, the way God asks, God fills what we finished. Yeah. Watch how obedience becomes occupancy. And that's we'll discuss that in the Wednesday lesson. Wednesday, God's presence in the tabernacle. Yeah. And talking about Exodus 40. Yeah, Exodus chapter 40. And Exodus chapter 40 is the moving day. Yeah. Israel finishes the build, and God doesn't just sign off. He actually moves in. Yeah. What do I mean by he moves in? And you can see cloud by day and fire by night. Yeah. So that's the when God moves in. That's a sign that God's present. Yeah. God moves in. Cloud by day, yeah, to keep them cool. And then fire by night to keep them warm. And this is not just a simple air condition. Yeah, it's more to that. So that's actually what heaven's key performance indicators. Presence over polish. Yeah, the point isn't a perfect tent. Yeah, it's actually the present God. Yeah, and what we can take from this idea is that when we make room the way he asks us to do, he will gladly fill the room. Yeah, he already gave us specific detail about how to create it, to build the tabernacle. But if we follow that, then he will gladly fill the room. Yeah. So next, what are the things we can take from these lessons? Finish what God asked. then God fills. Yeah, that's verse 33 to 34. So Moses finished the work, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Yeah. So obedience doesn't earn God's love. It prepares the space for his presence to enter our life. Yeah, that's what we can take from that lesson. Finish what God asked, then God will fill in. And second one, consecration turns ordinary into a holy. Yeah, verse 9 to 15. Oil touches furniture, altars, basin, then Aaron and his sons. God claims things and people. Yeah. What it means by this is that God wants your calendar, God wants your schedules, your car, probably your phone, and your home set apart for what? For him to use. Yeah. And that's basically consecration turns ordinary into a holy things. Yeah. The third, what we can learn from this is that presence guides the journey. Verse 36 to 38. Presence guides the journey. If the cloud moved, they moved. If it stayed, they stayed. Brothers and sisters, guidance is a byproduct of nearness, basically. Yeah, relationship first and direction seconds. Yeah, that's what the situation in the tabernacle, in that story. A presence guides the journey. A fourth lesson, creation echo, Sabbath confidence. Yeah, that's from verse 33. Yeah, and the scripture says, quote, finished at creation, at the tabernacle, and ultimately at the cross. Yeah, at the creation, God says, finished. Same thing at the tabernacle, it's finished. Same thing when at the cross, it's finished. And they're pretty much parallel. Yeah. Sabbath each week is your reminder that God knows how to finish what he already started. Yeah, that's the fourth lesson. And the fifth one that we can take from that is that from tent to temple to us. Yeah, from the tent to temple to you. So God's end game isn't just a building in this story, but it's actually a people. It's a person, yeah? By the Spirit, we become living tabernacles, a mobile sanctuaries, yeah? That's the whole idea, yeah? And that could be meaning you become a living tabernacles or mobile sanctuaries wherever you are. It could be in your break room at work, yeah? So don't be, exposing like you're not a living tabernacles or mobile sanctuaries. In the classroom, probably if you're a student, in the boardrooms or anywhere, we are a living tabernacles, a mobile sanctuaries. And this is the outcome Christ longs for himself manifested in people. And Mrs. White wrote in Christ's Object Lesson, page 69, Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. He doesn't want better props. He wants present people. Yeah. All right, let's move on. What is the application? The application we can take is that consecrate our space. Yeah. Tonight, walk through our home and pray one line in each room. Lord, this belongs to you. Fill it. Yeah. Adopt the cloud habit. Yeah, cloud habit. AM, basically, in the morning, word, more than 60 seconds surrender. Yeah, lead my steps today, Lord. Yeah. And then also in the afternoon, we can say gratitude and review what we have done the day. Where did I sense you today? Did I call your name today? Yeah, that's the PM in the afternoon reflections. Yeah. And decisions. Make three P's. Pause, pray, and proceed. Yeah. So, Sabbath as a weekly reset. Protect it. Let presence outrank production. Worship, rest, fellowship, and service. And then carry the presence. Bless one person this week with intentional presence. Yeah. Sit down with them, listen to them, pray for them on the spot. Hey, brother, can I pray for you? You look troubled. Hi, sister, can I offer you a prayer? So, if you want the glory to fill your week, give him the keys, room by room. Yeah. Family, the God who filled the tent wants to fill your Tuesday commute, your Thursday anxiety, and your Sabbath table. If you're willing to say, Lord, finish in me what you started, have my spaces, my schedules, my steps, just whisper right now, dwell here, Jesus, dwell here. Okay, we'll move on with the Thursday. The cloud in the camp points to Christ in our neighborhood. The tent was a preview. Jesus is the person. So, on Thursday, Jesus tabernacled with humanity. Now, the Word became flesh and the tabernacled among us. Yeah, in the wilderness, God lived in a tent at the center of the camp. Yeah, in the middle of the camp. In the Gospels, God moved into our neighborhood in the person of Jesus. Yeah, no long-distance relationship. Yeah, no celestial voicemail. So basically presence. God lives in the middle of the tent. The bottom line is the heart of the Gospel isn't just an advice. It's actual arrival. Yeah, he's there. God came close enough to touch, to weep, to heal, and also to save. Key lessons we can take from this Thursday lesson. Incarnation, it means proximity with purpose. Jesus didn't hover over humanity. He pitched his tent beside ours, right? He knows hunger, he knows fatigue, he knows rejection, and also joy. That means our story is not foreign to him. And you're not the edge case in heaven's system. Second, that we can take from this Thursday lesson. Presence forms a people. Where you, Matthew 18, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Brothers and sisters, church isn't just a venue. It's a community animated by his presence, his nearness. When Jesus is in the room, reconciliation beats rivalry. And worship beats worry. Yeah, that's what it means. For the third takeaway from Thursday lesson, open door fellowship. Yeah. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He won't break in. He waits to be welcomed in the ordinary, in the meals, commutes, hospital corridors, late night study sessions, everywhere in our life. He waited to be invited. He won't break in. The fourth takeaways. Preview of forever. Revelation 21 verse 3 says, promises the ultimate move-in. The tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. Yeah, no temple there because the whole city becomes sanctuary. This hope is our endurance engine when the week gets heavy. And the fifth lesson we can take from Thursday, you are now the tent. We are all now the tent. Yeah. Through the Spirit, we become living tabernacles, mobile sanctuaries carrying Christ's presence into everywhere in our lives. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Picture the bedside chair. Yeah. The bedside chair of a hospital. Love that won't leave through the night. Ask any night shift nurse. I used to be a night shift nurse. The most stubborn piece of furniture is chair by the bed. Yeah, bedside chair. Yeah. Sometimes it squeaks. It's sometimes uncomfortable, but it stays there. It won't leave. It won't go anywhere. So through the long night, a quiet voice says, I am here. That's the incarnation, basically. God took the chair at our bedside through our pain and through our fear until the morning of resurrection comes in. Yeah. Presence changed the room because before the problem changed. The application, what can we take and apply them in our life? Open the door daily. Yeah. Start and end each day with 60 seconds of prayer. Jesus, dwell here. I give you my schedule. This is what I planned for to do today. My conversation or my reactions. Yeah, open the door to him to come in daily. Yeah, put that similar chair for Jesus in our life. Practice proximity. Sit with someone who is hurting. And then just presence. Don't need to say anything. Yeah. Sabbath as a weekly reset. Yeah. Choose presence over productions. Yeah. Worship, rest, fellowship, service. Let the King be the agenda, not the other things in our Sabbath worship. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, if there's a room you've kept locked, invite him in. No guest privilege, full access. Yeah. Family, Jesus is still at the door. Yeah. If there's a room you've kept locked, anxious thoughts, probably a strained relationship with someone, a private habit, he wants to tabernacle there too. If you're willing to say, Lord, move in, no guest privileges, full access, just whisper, yeah, Jesus, dwell here. Yeah. And from Genesis to Exodus to the gospel to the New Jerusalem, the storyline has never changed. We hide, God comes looking. We wonder, God moves in. The cloud filled the tent. Yeah. The word became flesh and tabernacled among us, according to John chapter 1. And the promise still stands. The tabernacle of God is with men. Yeah. And today, Jesus ever lives in intercede for you. Yeah. Hebrews 7. That's not poetry. That's not policy. Presence is God's operating model. Some of us came in feeling more like a cluttered storage closet, yeah, than a sanctuary. Guilt piled one corner and then fear in the other corner. Doors we keep locked. So here it is. God doesn't ask us to build a palace. He asks us to pitch a tent and hand him the keys. He specializes in moving into imperfect spaces and filling them with glory. So, brothers and sisters, that's basically our lesson for this week, the tabernacle. We'll be moving on next week. It's a whole new quarter. I think Pastor Mike is going to be teaching. The title for next quarter is Lessons of Faith from Joshua. Yeah, basically it's wrote by Barna Magyarosi. And this basically transition from the leadership of Moses to Joshua. Yeah, so that's looking forward for that study. And if you'd like to have the presentation today, please call us at 916-457-6511. Or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org. And mention the offer number C202539. All right. So God bless you and have a wonderful Sabbath.